Let me just first start off by saying today that I've had the privilege the last couple months, actually we just finished 7 weeks of teaching in our Bible college here at the Rock Church. And thank you. I think those were my students. But the class that I've had the privilege of teaching is called New Testament Survey. And so basically what we do in my class is we study the 27 books of the New Testament. We go all the way from Matthew and we go all the way through Revelation. So, I mean, we cover a whole lot of information. Now, anybody knows that when you do a study like that, if you're teaching a class, if you're doing a study like that, if you're in the class, you may take a class later on in life, that if the plan is to go through every book, every chapter, every verse, every story, every character, every author of the book, to all the people they were written to, the history behind it, you could probably spend years going through that class. There's just that much information. And so what you do when you teach a New Testament survey or an Old Testament survey, you cover a lot of information. What you do is you kind of do a study. That's what survey means. It means a study, an examination. You kind of do an overall study or what I like to call a big picture study. Is everybody following me today? You do a big picture study. In other words, you kind of get the hindsight view of what's going on. You kind of look at the major themes that are running throughout the New Testament, that are running throughout your study, and you kind of leave out the nitty-gritty details of what's going on. All right, so you guys are kind of understanding the picture here between the difference between a big picture study and a study of the nitty-gritty details, right? Shake your head at me all right. So now what I have found is that when you get the big picture, when you see the big picture, it helps you understand the nitty-gritty details. As well as when you study the nitty-gritty details of the Word of God, you know, you really dig into those one or two verses and you're each and every word or each little phrase is like, oh my gosh, that's amazing. When you study the nitty-gritty details, it helps you understand the big picture as well. And so, Pastor Joe, what are you trying to say? What I'm trying to say is when you take the big picture and the nitty-gritty details and you bring them together, you come to a fuller revelation of what the Word of God is coming to. So, Pastor Joe, well, I'm not taking a New Testament survey class. How does that apply to my life? You know, there's times when you're studying your Word. How many of you know as Christians you should study the Word of God? Dang, I should have got a bigger amen than that. Moving right along. But when you study, there are times where, hey, man, get those two or three verses and, man, really dig into them. And then there's other times, hey, read a whole chapter, two, three chapters, and get the overall picture of what is trying to be said. And all of a sudden now you're, oh, man, I understand a little bit more. And what happens is you grow in the things of God. So what I wanted to do today in the next 10 minutes, maybe 12 minutes, is I want to take you through the entire New Testament. Pastor Joe, is that even possible? I don't know, but that's what God wanted me to do today. So we're going to do it. No, it's possible. We're going to get through it real fast. But the reason why I want to take you through the New Testament is because I want you to see some big pictures. I want you to see some of the major themes that are running throughout the New Testament. How many of you guys know that the New Testament is the new covenant? It's the covenant that you and I are under, that you and I are in today with God through Jesus Christ. Praise God. And so what we're going to do is we're going to kind of divide the New Testament into three different sections. All right, it's going to be real easy. I promise it'll make sense. And as you begin to see these big pictures, I really believe that you're going to be able to see some of the things that God is interested in. What is most important to God? How many of you here want to know what God is interested in? You want to know what God's interests are all about. That should be every hand in the house today, because living life my way, living life your way is what got us into trouble to begin with. I'm reminded of a verse in the Bible in Isaiah chapter 53. It says that all we like sheep, that's you, that's me, all we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his, does anybody know the rest? His own way, amen. His own way, but God, and that's a great but God right there. But God laid on Jesus the iniquity of us all. And so what is the verse saying? The verse is saying when you and I decide to put our interest above everybody else's interest, including God's, that's when we get ourselves into trouble. It's when our desires, our passions, our pursuits are more important than the things of God. Well, today, how can you possibly pursue the interests of God if you don't know what they are? Are you following me today? And so what we're going to do is we're going to divide the New Testament three different ways, and I think that you're going to see three different pictures, which will also reveal God's interest to you and to me. If you're taking notes, the title of the message is God's Interest. God's Interest. And if you brought your Bible, we're going to go to a very interesting place called the Table of Contents. Amen. Everybody turn your Bible with me to the Table of Contents. Pastor Luke is like, I've never heard of anybody doing this in my life. I may never do it again. No, I'm just kidding. All right, to the Table of Contents. And the reason why is because I'm going to name off a few books here, and I don't want you going through your New Testament trying to see, oh, which book is next? I just want you to be able to see it right here. All right, because remember, we're going to divide the New Testament really fast into three different sections. The first section is the first four books. You're looking there at your table of contents, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. These books are called the Gospels. Now, this is not a test. I don't know if I want you writing exactly everything I say, but these four books are called the Gospels. The reason why they're called the Gospels is because they are the story of the good news of Jesus Christ, his life on the earth. All right, so Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, what are they all about? They record the life of Jesus Christ. All right, so you can kind of put a division right there. That's the first division we're going to make in the New Testament. Now, what's so interesting about the Gospels is that while they are a record of the life of Jesus Christ, they are not a biography. Pastor Joe, what exactly are you trying to say today? If you know anything about a biography is written by somebody about somebody else's life, and the biography's focus is on that person's life. Everybody following me so far? In other words, they may mention, you know, oh, so-and-so, let's say I was doing a biography on Whitney Houston, who recently passed away. Whitney Houston was born this date, this time, this place, and then I focus on my major focus in the book. I might spend a couple pages talking about that, but then the next 100, 200 pages is on her life. And then at the very, very end, I might spend maybe a few more pages talking about, and she passed away on such and such a date, survived by her whatever, and then that's the end of the book. The focus is on the life. But the interesting thing about the Gospels, the stories of the life of Jesus Christ, is that their focus is on his death. Their focus is on the death of Jesus Christ. It's kind of, anybody here ever seen the movie The Last Samurai? Great movie. One of Pastor Luke and I's favorites. In Bible college, we probably watch it a bazillion times. But anyways, at the very end of the movie, Tom Cruise brings Kazumoto's sword to the emperor. All right? He presents the sword of Kazumoto to the emperor because Kazumoto just recently passed away in the final battle. And the emperor's like, Kazumoto's dead. And they're just like this moment of, I can't believe it. And so the emperor, the young man, he says to Tom Cruise, he says, how did he die? And Tom Cruise says, I won't tell you how he died. I will tell you how he lived. And it's kind of a cool statement. But what is Tom Cruise saying? He says, basically what he's saying is, I want to give you a biography on Kazumoto's life. All right? Now, in contrast with these Gospels, the Gospels do not focus on Jesus' life, but rather on his death. If you take all of the Gospels and you combine them all together, one out of every three verses speak on the death of Jesus Christ. Pastor Joe, why do the Gospels focus so much on Jesus' death? Because this was his purpose. This is why Jesus Christ came. He came to give his life for you and for me. He came to redeem you and I from sin, death, hell in the grave. This is the gospel of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Is anybody in the house today? That he came for one purpose, that his body would be broken, and that his blood would be shed so that you and I could now get out of the darkness. You and I can now get out of the muck and the mire. The bridge between God, the gap between God and man could be bridged. He came and he gave his life. This was his purpose. Mark chapter 10, if you guys can put it up on the overhead screen for us. Mark chapter 10, verse number 45. These are Jesus' words himself. He says this, for even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve and to give his life a ransom for many. For me, I don't know about you, but for me, I see God's interest, his first interest in the first four books of the New Testament. God's first interest above all else is the lost. Listen, if the focus was on Jesus' death, what was the purpose of Jesus' death? But to give his life a ransom for you and for me. God's first and primary interest is on the lost. Pastor Joe, how does that apply to my life today? Because I'm already saved. Am I forgotten about now? No. So how does that apply to you and I today? How many of you realize that you once lost, when you got saved, you became born again? You had the born again experience. Gave all of your heart and all of your life to God. A miracle took place. The Holy Spirit came down on the inside of you and made you a new person. It's called the new birth experience. Now, how many of you realize today that the new birth experience should not be for you and for me a one-time ordeal? The new birth experience, you getting saved, coming out of darkness and walking in newness of life should take place every day of your life. You should be in this place where you are enjoying the thrill of being born again. You're enjoying the thrill of, hey, I once was separated, but now I'm no longer separated. I'm in fellowship with the King. I once was lost, but now I'm found. I once was blind, but now I see. I once was on my way to hell, now I'm on my way to heaven. I once was serving the devil and serving the world, now I'm serving Jesus Christ. And each and every day, you should walk in this new birth experience. It's kind of like this, you know, if this is God's primary interest, how many of you realize today that it must be God's best? It must be God's best for our life. So it applies to you and to you and to me, is that you and I need to come to a place where we don't just wake up in the morning and go throughout our routine, do the things that we do like the rest of the world. But hey, we are participating in our relationship with Jesus Christ. And then the second way that it applies to you, and the reason why I like so much to hear Pastor Luke talk about we are the light of the world and the salt of the earth, is because all of a sudden I'm reminded that, hey, the way that God's going to reach the lost is with you and with me. I think the statistic now is that 2% of people in the body of Christ actually share their faith outside of church. Sad indictment. But the way that God is going to save the lost, the way that God is going to reach the world is now, of course, through his Spirit, but through you and through me. You are the light of the world. You are the salt of the earth. Hey, the world is no longer the trendsetter. The world is no longer the people who make the standards. No, you should be making the standards. You should be setting the trends. You are the life of the party. You are the flavor of the Kool-Aid. You, why? Because you are in Jesus. Jesus is in you, and Jesus is the answer for the world today. So the first major theme I see here is I find it in the Gospels, the first four books of the Bible. I see God's interest in being in the lost. The next division I see in the New Testament, see, we're already moving on. Of course, we're only going to cover one book next, the book of Acts, which is the second division I see in the New Testament, the book of Acts. And the book of Acts, what is it all about? It's all about the birth, the life, and the growth of the church. So you can kind of look at it like this. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John recorded the life of Jesus Christ. The book of Acts records the life of the church. Who's the church? We be the church. What's really cool is if you look at the very last chapter, the very last verse of the book of Acts, while all the other books end with, you know, God be praised, something, amen. Acts is the only book that doesn't end. It doesn't have an ending. Why? Because I believe in heaven, Acts is still being written. It's being written about your life, about mine, about what we're doing to advance the kingdom of God. So the second division I see here, the major division, is on the book of Acts. What is the major focus of Acts? Its focus is on the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. What did Jesus say in Acts? Actually, let's turn there with me. Acts chapter 2. Keep your place there in the table of contents. Actually, you don't have to anymore. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 8, real quick. Acts chapter 2, verses number 4 through 8. These are Jesus' words. Acts chapter 2, verses 4 through 8. Excuse me. I'm so sorry. Acts chapter 1 is where I wanted to go. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. I put the wrong thing on my notes. Acts chapter 1, verses 4 through 8. It says, "And being assembled together with them, Jesus commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, 'You have heard from me. For John truly baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now.' Therefore, when he had come together, they asked him, saying, 'Lord, will you at this time restore the kingdom of Israel?' What is the answer? No. Next verse. And he said to them, it is not for you to know the times or the seasons which the Father has placed in his own authority, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria and to the end of the earth. And then what else you find is that it actually takes place in Acts chapter 2. The disciples, they do what Jesus says, and they don't leave until they receive that promise. And then you know what else I see throughout Acts? I see that every time a disciple went out, they had two questions for people. Are you saved? The very next thing, are you filled with the Spirit? Have you been baptized in the Holy Ghost, and do you speak with other tongues? This is God's second interest. That you and I today would live life as Spirit-filled believers. That, you know what, speaking in other tongues is not something to be ashamed of. This is the promise of the Father. This is God's desire for you and for me. And how many of us, we go day after day, week after week, month after month, year after year, and we never pray in the Holy Spirit. We never partake in this Spirit-filled life because... But this is God's second interest. Today, if you're not filled with the Holy Spirit, you can come talk to me or Pastor Luke after the service. But if you are, today's a good day to start praying in the Holy Ghost. You know, the Bible says about praying in the Holy Spirit. Actually, let me tell you what Paul said, because Paul said, and if you guys in the back can pop it up, in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse number 18, I find this very interesting that he made this statement, I thank God I speak with tongues more than you all. Dang, it's quiet in this church today. What else I like that the Bible says about speaking in tongues in Romans chapter 8, when you have need of praying for something and you don't know how to pray, you can pray in the Holy Spirit. How many of you in here have ever been in a place where you didn't know how to pray for the situation like you should? Pastor Joe's raising his hand. What can you do? You can start praying in the Holy Spirit. And then finally, I see this in Jude verse 20 and verse 21. This is what the Bible says. Jude verse 20 and 21, but you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. He says, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. You and I should be living the Spirit-filled life. You and I should be praying in the Holy Ghost. And maybe it's that quiet in here because that many of us need to get on the ball and need to change the way that we're living. Amen. Moving right along. Our final point today, the third major division here, or section, I guess you could say, of the New Testament, and this is how we bring it to a close, are the rest of the books, because the rest of the books are called epistles. What are epistles? They're letters written to churches, for the most part. Letters written to churches or to individuals. They're the overall theme I see in these books is a theme of growing up spiritually. Of growing up spiritually. If I came to you and I said, man, you're nothing but a baby, how many of you would take that offensively? Hopefully everybody. I'm sorry. You're just like a teenager. Oh, some of you took more offense to that than baby. But why? Why would we take offense to something like that? Because the longer that you're here on the earth, hopefully the more you grow and the more you mature. The more you understand, the more you come to being able to make better decisions for your life. And so we would all take that offensive. And, who are you, sucker? That's how we'd act. You know it's true. But how many of us really grow spiritually? How long you been saved now, my brother, my sister? Pastor Joe, 15 years. 15 years. And you're still the same that you were the day you got saved. What I see these epistles writing about, they're writing for the purpose of you and I growing up spiritually. Hey, listen, as a Christian, you've got to get out of babyhood. You've got to stop living life the same old way, doing the same old thing. It's time to grow. God's interest for you, number one, is that you'd have the new birth experience and that you'd live in it every day, that you'd live the Spirit-filled life, and number three, that you'd grow up spiritually. Pastor Joe, what does God want from me? What is his great, amazing, awesome, far more above all that I could ask or think? What is his plan for me? Hey, it starts with growing up spiritually. How many of you know today, everybody knows this, my son is 13 months old. I can get around a lot better than my son. I can accomplish a whole lot more than my son can. Why? Because I'm an adult. He's a baby. And I'm talking to myself too, many of all of us today, we miss out on the blessings of God. Why? Just simply because we are not mature enough to know what the Bible has to say about our life situation. We're not mature enough to get down on our knees and pray. We're not mature enough to pray in the Holy Ghost. We're not mature enough to walk by faith. We're not mature enough to dig into the Word of God, and we're not mature enough to hear the voice of God. It's amazing to me how great you see God's desire to speak to you and I today, and yet I very few and far between come across an adult that really hears the voice of God. I hear a lot of people say, God told me this and God told me that, and I said, I'll pray for you. Why? Because we're not mature. We're not mature. Let me see here. Let's go to Hebrews chapter 5. Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12. I hope none of you are upset with me. I hope God had to speak to me through this message first, and my life has and is still being addressed every day. My wife knows my mistakes very well. But and so we're all learning how to do this. We're all learning how to grow up spiritually, all right? But the deal here is this, guys. You cannot afford to just do this. You cannot afford any longer to not bring your Bible to church. You cannot afford any longer to not read it. You cannot afford any longer to not memorize scripture. It's amazing to me. We could pop up a song just bam, like that. Not even play the whole song. Play it in a funky tune, and everybody knew the words. So what? I get drunk. So what? I smoke weed. We're just having fun. We don't care who see. How many secular songs we have memorized full of trash, and we can't even memorize John 3:16. We can't do it. We don't know where books are in the Bible. It's time to bring that to an end. And it's time to grow up and be all that God's called you to be and do all that God's called you to do. The bottom line is there's no other life that will ever compare. You want to live in the fullness of life, which is what everybody else seeks after. Hey, it's time to find out what God's interests are for your life, and it's time to make them your interests, and it's time to walk in them. So Hebrews chapter 5, verses 12 through 14, it says, "For though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you again the first principles of the oracles of God. And you have not come, and you have come to need milk and not solid food." See, it should work the other way. You start with milk and you go to solid food. But he says here, "And you have come to need milk and not solid food." So over the process of time, you've come to still need milk. "For everyone who partakes only of milk, it's just the same old routine as it is before, year after year. For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of righteousness, for he is a babe. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age, that is, those who by reason of use, using what? The word of God, have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil." So today, we've just gone through New Testament survey, and I hope about 20 minutes. But you see three major divisions in the Word of God, and I think you can clearly see God's three interests. Number one division is in the Gospels. They're the stories of the life of Jesus Christ. What is the focus on? His death, and therefore God's interest is in the lost, in you and I experiencing the new, having the new birth experience and then living in it every day. Number two, the book of Acts, which is the story of the life, the birth, life, and growth of the church. And all that you see over and over again is, hey, they ask two questions. Hey, do you know Jesus? Now that you know Jesus, are you filled with the Holy Ghost? Number two is, are you living the Spirit-filled life? And then finally, number three, the rest of the books of the New Testament, the epistles, the letter to the churches. What is their major focus? While they talk about a bazillion different things, their focus is on trying to grow you and trying to grow me up spiritually. Today, if you got something good from God's word, you can go ahead and give him a great big praise.